Well, at least Pastor Rick apologized this morning for starting to preach communion meditation. So I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and talk about giving. I'm kidding, but I'm not. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. I love this about the scriptures. They can be teaching something on a particular subject, as in this case on giving. And then we find these little gems tucked away in them. And that is what I want us to do this afternoon, to focus just on one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. That's our text for today. There's many rich people in the world, and I don't know if you enjoy watching Shark Tank. I enjoy that program. I watch it from time to time. And I don't know if you saw, but first thing I do every morning when I wake up, which is fairly early, I wake up my brain with coffee, and I have a couple of cups of coffee, and I look at the news headlines on my iPhone. And that's the extent of my news coverage. And this week, something caught my eye. One of the sharks, one of the ladies' sharks, was caught in a scam in Germany. A property scam, or her secretary or somebody. Anyway, they scammed them, and they transferred $400,000 into an account in Germany, supposedly some transaction she was supposed to have done, only to find out it was all a scam. The money's missing. It's gone. Somebody else is now rich. But because she's a shark, she's not poor. She's not being that impoverished by it, worth many, many hundreds of millions, I think. And there are not many instances in the world today where people become poor because they make others rich. I don't know if there are any true stories about that. Certainly there were some very big corporations and individuals who became rich, and others, as a result, became very poor. Thankfully, many of these people are in jails today. The property crash and other stock market fraudulent schemes that preyed on often the poorer of our society, and those retired and their pensions gone to these things. Well, to understand our text correctly today, that 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, which we read, the context here in which Paul was writing, as you know, if you keep your Bibles open there, was one of giving. Paul was urging believers towards charitable giving for the poor saints in Jerusalem and in Judea. And we actually find this in both chapters 8 and chapter 9. So we're diving in and stealing a pearl of great price right here. But this is the context of giving to the church, and to give cheerfully to those saints in Jerusalem. In fact, the subject was already raised in 1 Corinthians 16, the last chapter, the previous chapter. He writes there concerning the collection for the saints. Paul spends a lot of time on giving, particularly to encourage the Corinthian church. He says, collection for the saints, I directed the church of Galatia and also to you, for you to do. On the first day of the week, each one of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And then he says, when he arrives, he will take up that collection. So Paul sets before the church of Corinth the generous example, and you probably know this text, of the churches in Macedonia, and reminds them of their previous commitment to give also to the Jerusalem believers, and stirred up other churches to give. And we find this in the first four verses. Let's just read those. Now, it's superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry of the saints, for I know your readiness, which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has already been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. This is 2 Corinthians 9, I apologize, the next chapter. But I am sending the brothers to you so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter. And the Macedonians are going to go with him, and so not wanting to embarrass them, he's going to send some people ahead for the gift. So here Paul urges the church in Corinth, as well as other churches, to do something and to give in this matter. And he sets it before him by his own example, who labored amongst them without taking anything for his labors, and the example of the other churches, particularly the poor Macedonian believers. And not only does he stop there, but as is the habit of Paul in the scriptures, he reverts to the supreme example of the Lord Jesus Christ in all matters of faith and practice, our Savior. So here in the matter of giving, right in the middle of the discourse, he brings his readers to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what our attention will be focused on here for our communion meditation. We need to mention the example of the Macedonian churches, though, because this was extraordinary, particularly since these people in Macedonia were extremely poor. They were not just poor, they were extremely poor, and yet they led all the other churches in giving liberally. And this wasn't a case of the widow's mite. She just had a penny and she had nothing else, and really she was already poor and she gave that. No, this was way beyond that. These believers were poor, and they did not give according to their means, because then they would not have given anything. Their example was such that they gave abundantly to the saints in Jerusalem for the work of the gospel. Out of their poverty, they gave until it hurt. 2 Corinthians 8, we want you to know, and that's verse 1 now in the chapter that we read earlier, the verse. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy, their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. What an example. And now, having set the example of the Macedonian churches before them, Paul now turns to the great motivation of giving of the churches, and our motivation in giving even today, for their joy and their growth in the gospel. For indeed, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And what is that motivation? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the example that Paul now sets before believers, reminds them of the great undeserved favor of God in Christ Jesus towards them. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, as the old acronym goes. So let's look at our text again for our communion meditation, the context of this whole subject of giving, which it is. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you by his poverty may become rich. Paul says, in your giving, in your gifts, in your charity, always remind yourself of the undeserved favor of God in Christ and the extent to which he gave to you. And sometimes we give to the church, don't we? And we're like, this was a lot this month and you failed to give, and we're already patting ourselves on the back. And he points them and us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know for the most part when we give, it's conservatively, according to our means. In fact, more often than not, we give out of our abundance. The example of Christ put before us today, however, he was rich in glory in heaven, in the kingdom with his Father. Yet he gave to such an extent that the scriptures describe him as poor, so that we might become rich through his poverty. Let's focus our attention as we gather around the Lord's table, this table of proclamation of the Lord's death. Until he come, let's focus on this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one before us today because of his great love for us, because of his great grace. His unmerited favor towards sinners became poor so that we believers, through his poverty, might become rich. Consider Christ today, who was rich and offered himself willingly, making himself poor, humbling himself as a man upon this earth, born in a filthy stable, without pomp and ceremony, not in a rich palace, only to be further humiliated and eventually gave himself as the sacrifice after making himself a servant among the people of the earth. He humiliated himself, humbled himself even further, and became that sacrifice that Pastor Horst was speaking about this morning, when he entered the heavens with his hands, his own sacrifice, made himself poor that others might become rich. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To help us in our meditation, let us ask two questions this afternoon. First of all, how did Christ make himself poor? And secondly, how did we become rich as a result of his poverty? In the first place, we ask, how did Christ become poor? We've touched on this already, and I don't think that we could ever comprehend and will ever comprehend what it meant for the eternal Son of God, the King of glory, to lay aside the glories and the splendor of heaven, very God descending and taking on frail humanity, thereby laying aside everything, the Shekinah glory, everything attached to him except for his deity and his Godhead, but everything associated with that, the brilliance of his glory and his kingly crown and his throne. Yet he humbled himself. He condescends to clothe himself in frail humanity. And Philippians describes this so well, verses 2 to 6 and 7 of chapter 2, who though he was in the form of God, though he was God, the form morphe in himself of subsistence with God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. We love to read of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ and those wonders in the Bible, especially the ones that Christ performed. There are many in the Bible, but the ones that Christ performed while on this earth, what would be the greatest one, do you think? Perhaps raising Lazarus from the dead. Perhaps the turning of the water into wine, feeding the 5,000. You may have a favorite. Brothers and sisters, is it not this? John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The greatest miracle in the history of all time. Jesus of Nazareth was God made man, was the second person of the Godhead, clothed himself in frail humanity and became poor. 1 Corinthians 15:47, the first man was from the earth, Adam, man of the dust. The second man is from heaven. Christ as the second Adam, in order to determine the blessed destiny of the sons of men, his church, took and clothed himself in humanity without the loss of his deity, so that Jesus of Nazareth was as truly and fully divine as he was human. But the King of glory did not just take humanity on, But as we said, he took on servanthood. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, Christ made himself poor. And as we know, it didn't stop there. But his poverty extended to becoming a sacrifice. To this end, to reconcile man to God, he became poor in spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. How did Christ become poor? The sinless Savior, rich in perfection, beauty, glory, rich in the majesty of heaven, became sin for us by taking the sin of all his people, all their sin, present and future, upon himself. Every wicked deed, every evil thought, every God-hating motive, every single transgression ever committed by his chosen people is laid upon Christ. The guilt, the shame, the punishment, the wrath of God crucified, dead, and buried. This is extreme poverty for the Godhead, for you and for me, for every evil thought, for every wicked deed. And that is what we remember when we come to this table. Verse 21 of the same chapter goes on, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. My friends, this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ set before us by Paul. This is what should motivate our giving. This is what should motivate our worship. This is what we should hold before us when we come to the table of the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that undeserved favor to me. B.B. Warfield writes in The Person and Work of Christ, wonderful book, "Now God our Father lets his Son proceed from himself as a man and thus entering into history. This is an almighty act of his love, of his reconciling will. By God's almighty act, the eternal Son of God becomes a weak, developing child." That is poverty. That was Christ making himself poor. Let's ask the second question then, as we prepare our hearts to gather around this table, as we consider the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ made himself poor. How do we become rich as a result of his poverty? How do we become rich as a result of his poverty? So our text again, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." There is no human comparison or act of charity or love that can express the benefits of the child of God who, through the poverty of the Savior and particularly his suffering and death, to enrich the child of God. The riches that are imputed and imparted to the believer through Christ's poverty are beyond understanding and comprehension. The spiritual blessings demonstrated to us by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the best kind of blessings. They are eternal blessings in the heavenly places. And Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." That is riches to our account, even as he chose him before the foundation of the world, chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. That's what we come to celebrate here. Riches of Christ to us through his poverty, through his death, through his suffering. How do we become rich? Through Christ's poverty, through the forgiveness of sins, through the forgiveness of sins, our justification. While we were on spiritual death row, we received a free pardon from all eternity. We were separated from God, and we were to face the just punishment and payment in the misery of our sin. But through Christ's poverty, when he became sin for us, as the hymn writer says, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the tree, and I bear it no more, because he became poor for me. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not only are we rich in what we escaped, the wrath of God, but we are rich through what we became through our justification. Righteous. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins, we gather around this table and we are the righteous ones. The ones washed in the blood of the Lamb. The ones clothed with his righteousness. He took the debt. Eternal riches. He took the punishment and he bore it. This wasn't a paper transaction. Okay, I'll sign this property over to you. This was an act in history. This was an act of suffering. This was an act of extreme poverty as our sins were laid on the Savior. Note the quote in the bulletin today of Spurgeon. Jesus must clothe these people in his own garments, or he cannot admit them to his palace of glory. He must wash them in his own blood, or else they will be too defiled for the embrace of his fellowship. How did we become rich? Our sins were pardoned. How did we become rich? We've been adopted through adoption as sons. From being citizens of earth, of the cursed bloodline of Adam, born dead in our transgressions and sins, a family so poor spiritually that they are counted death and dead. And through Christ's poverty, through the death of the only beloved Son of God, we are adopted into the family of God. How did we become rich? Through our adoption. 1 John 3 verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called sons of God, and that is what we are. Brothers and sisters, we sit around this table celebrating that extreme poverty of our Savior. And we sit here not as sinners, but as sinners saved by grace. We sit here as sons of the Most High God. The only inheritance we were ever in line was death, eternal death. And now we are rich. We've been given an inheritance that does not fade or diminish. Stock market crashes cannot affect this heavenly transaction. We are not heirs down the line of a second cousin twice removed from a rich uncle. No, we are joint heirs with the Son. The Son, the only Son, the one who became poor for us, is the one who now shares his throne and his riches with us when we get to glory, the riches of his grace. And for the record, the Son has been given all things, and we are co-heirs with him. We shall reign with him. He is our brother. The Son of God has made us joint heirs with Christ through his poverty. How did we become rich? Through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The guarantee of our adoption and inheritance is the Spirit that was given to us, that seal at the new birth, the sovereign work of God making us his sons. The Spirit is our seal and the guarantee, that royal, indelible seal of God in all eternity, and his Spirit in our heart through the Word provides us with that assurance of faith, that we are now children of God. Romans 8, 15 to 17, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This transaction makes us rich through our adoption as sons. This transaction was sealed in eternity by the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts. The great transaction's done. I am the Lord's and he is mine. How have we become rich? Through the promise of eternal life. Finally, through the promise of eternal life. Promise of eternal life is as sure as the great love of God in Christ. That promise that if we believe in the Son, and the Son that he has given, whoever believes in the Son shall have eternal life. And Jesus confirmed this to Martha. Remember where her brother Lazarus died, and she was in tears and came to the Savior. And Jesus says to her, John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. How have we become rich? Through the gift of eternal life. And the Gospel of John, written in 1 John, he was an old man by now, but this was the same old man who in his younger days witnessed these things in the Gospel of John. He writes in 1 John 2:25, confirming the promise to the believer as he wrote by the Holy Spirit, and he says simply, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. That's it. This is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Eternal life is the place of highest blessedness, a place of immense beauty, streets of gold and a sea of glass, where the Lamb is the light and will be the presence of God forever there. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, but blessed labor and worship and fellowship with the Father and with His Son and with the Spirit forever. Indescribable joy and happiness for all eternity. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Brothers and sisters, as we gather around this table, having considered the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his poverty, his suffering, and his death, and as we celebrate these things, now shown these symbols before us, as we partake of his body and we drink his blood, by faith in our hearts, we remember that we proclaim his death until he come. That great day of joy and gladness, something we look forward to as we will realize all the riches of our inheritance and see the fullness of our salvation in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.